like, he just, one time I go, Fred, you know, you spend so much time on social media debating shit with people about philosophy. Just do your own damn philosophy, man. Don't argue with other people on it. he's ridiculous, yeah, but he's from Manhattan. He's ridiculous.
Yeah, but some people like that stuff, man.
Yeah, he's one of them, I think. I had a buddy who's he was a Mensa, you know, that the Genius Group, been tested to be a Mensa, and the guy loved the debate. He would, if you said, you know, the sky's blue, so, you know, he would agree with you, but he'd take the other side just so he could debate with you.
Yeah.
Hello, guys.
I love to stay away from people like that.
Hi, Phil.
How are you?
Speaking of the devil.
Oh, believe me, I'm not the devil. Don't mistake me for him. Not even close.
No.
You guys good?
Doing great.
All right, so I want to pick up a little bit from where we left off last time, and I'll get into anything you guys want to talk about, but I also considered this, and I think I'm comfortable sharing with you the overview of the pro forma of one of the two medical facilities I'm doing, because, you know, when I tell you guys, like, this is the greatest opportunity I've ever seen, I mean it, and I just want to show it to you and walk you through it, because it is so simple. Now, I don't want you to think I'm urging all of you guys to do this. I'm not. You may take some of this insight and apply it to your existing business, but I just want you to see, because, you know, often I say to you, there's opportunity, and you guys might just be calloused hearing me say that, but this is real. When I say the greatest opportunity I've seen in our industry, I mean it. You know, how long will it be here? I don't know. You know, the medical field is destined to change. Obamacare Trump style is worse than it could have ever been. And to begin with, doctors didn't like Obamacare. Lots and lots and lots of doctors that I meet are very, very unhappy with the state of their business, but they feel very trapped. They can't leave it. And to leap into a cash model is a very, very scary proposition for anybody who's been relying on insurance money for the support of their family and their kids. So I really think that everything is aligned right now. I don't know that this opportunity will always be there, but I know it's mind-blowing now. So if you guys are okay with it, I'll go through it with you, and I did email it to you. So if you haven't checked your email, check it and have it in front of you, because we'll go through it, and I'll answer any questions that you guys have. And I really simplified it. I took about 28 pages and broke it down to one. So even looking at the one page, I think all of you are going to go, oh, well, I get it. This is really simple and really lucrative. All right, but last time we were talking about heading into the new year and running your business like a business and taking a look at it and anticipating what you're headed toward and then creating what you would like to head toward. And in order to do that, you really have to isolate what is your core business. Now, everybody starts their business with a vision of that, but then sometimes things get twisted and convoluted and complicated, and you take on other things. And it's helpful to look back and say, what is my core business? I also gave you an example on our last call of how many personal training studios create a core business that generates a lot of revenue, but generating that revenue costs them. So they create ancillary revenue streams so that they can show a profit. And the irony is, if they got rid of what they're perceiving to be their core business, they'd be making more money without all of the expense and overhead. So I want to pick up from there. I also told you that ideally you will have 3 or possibly 4 bank accounts. So if you have that now, great. If you don't, consider it. And I know there was some resistance. If anything I say doesn't sit well with you, then don't do it. When determining your core business, you're looking at the element that you're choosing to be the source of your prosperity. You're looking at something that is scalable or growable and can feed you for some time into the future. When you have your core business, you need to have a value proposition. Whenever you ask a person to become a customer, you're really asking for a value exchange. And in most cases, on their end, the exchange is money. So you're saying, here's my core business. I would like to offer you my product or service. And in exchange for that, you will give me $42 or $115 because that's the value of what I'm bringing to you. So even though we all get set in our prices, and some of us have prices where it's this much for in-studio and that much if we go to somebody's home and so much for an hour and so much for a half hour and so much for a group, it's a good idea to revisit that, because sometimes you do that just because it's the way things unfold, and you might realize it doesn't make sense to have all of those options. Maybe you should only do group training. You can't tell without looking at the numbers. Or maybe you should only do one-on-one, one-hour sessions. So often we take things on thinking they'll make us more money, and really what they cause us is more energy output. So even though you already think you know what your value proposition is, it's a good idea to revisit it and answer the question, what is your solid value proposition? X number of dollars in exchange for what? All of us started in a place where we sold sessions. We thought that the value was in the session. And if that were the case, then every 15-minute session would be the same value. Every 30-minute session would be the same value. But we've grown, we've matured, and we realize the value is not in the session. The value is in what we deliver, more specifically, the outcome. So the better we get at understanding the desired outcome, and the better we get at helping people find or discover that outcome, the more valuable we become. So even if you've been locked into your rates for the last 2 years, maybe your value has changed. There are some other questions that we've been through, but if you're going to actually do this before it turns into 2019, go back and ask, what is your promise? You guys have heard me talk a lot about the guarantee, and I know everybody has apprehension. You don't want to make a guarantee because what do people ask for all their money back? You don't have to guarantee money back. But somewhere you got to put yourself on the line if you really want to claim extraordinary value. If you want to say, I'm worth more than the others who claim to do what I do, then you really want to say, and I'm different, and I know that, and I'll deliver, so as a result, here is my promise. And the bolder the promise, the greater the value you will command. While very often people hear what I'm about to say and they think I'm saying eliminate people, I'm not. When I ask you to define your avatar, that doesn't mean only train your avatar, but it means when you develop marketing, when you develop a promotion, you should aim it at your avatar, your ideal client. And if other people show up, of course you'll train them. But if you just try to advertise training or fitness or weight loss or results, you're up against everybody else who's doing that same thing. So the more you can define your avatar, the more your value proposition has impact, and the more your promise is received. So yes, these are foundational things, and that's what I wanted to do on our last call, is say, let's look ahead as if we're building a whole new business for 2019. Rather than feeling like we're stuck with all the things we don't like about our business, let's just build a new one. Oh, and by the way, if out of 112 things, we're doing 108 of them right, let's keep doing those things in our new business. I would guess everybody wants growth, whether you've had a financial struggle in 2018 or you've prospered. You still look ahead and you want growth. And in any service business, growth can come from expanding your reach. That's not the only way, but it's the primary way. So what is your reach in 2019? And this is a chance to really get out of your box, get out of your comfort zone. You know, just try some things that are new. Or try some things that you used to do and you stopped. But I think it's a good time to say, what am I going to do in 2019 that's going to put me in front of people? I've done lunch and learn seminars. I don't love them, honestly. I don't love them at all. But I've done them. They've gotten me business. In fact, if I totaled up all the business I ever got from lunch and learn seminars, it would be significant. But I don't love them because people aren't really there to hear what I have to say. They're there to eat lunch. And I have a very limited window. And even if I can get them compelled, there's usually some parameter as to what I can offer or sell. But I'm sharing this with you because if I were in a position right now where I said, I want more clients, I would do that now. Not because I love it and not because I think it's the greatest thing in the world, but it will help me grow my reach. So rather than getting too big for our britches and go, we don't need to do that anymore, if we look back at some of the things that worked in the past, why not do them again? I've spoken at schools. Honestly, I don't love that. You know, when I'm saying that, there are things I do love. I love promoting my own seminar. I love having a full day or a full weekend. I love doing a three-hour event where there's a real energy in the room. You know, those things I love. But those take a lot of work. So if I were just looking now to build my client reach, I would take on a few of these things because they're not that hard to get. Social media marketing keeps changing. I still haven't seen people just casually make money with Facebook ads, even though it appears that you can. I still haven't seen it. I see the people who make a lot of money on Facebook using very sophisticated funnels and retargeting and auto campaigns and investing a whole lot of time and a whole lot of money. I know business owners who spend millions of dollars on Facebook ads because it makes them hundreds of thousands. Now, you look at that and you might go, why would they spend millions to make hundreds of thousands? Because they found the formula. In other words, if you put $100 into a box and you went there the next day and there was $110, you would put $100 in that box every day. And then you go, let's see what happens if I put $200 in the box. So even though the return doesn't equal what you spend in terms of the profit, it's giving you back what you invested plus more. And I'm only telling you that because, you know, Facebook lets you think that if you boost a post for $10 over 3 days, you're going to get a whole slew of new business. And I just don't see it happening. If any of you have done it or seen it, let me know. I see lots of people making a lot of money there. I've done really well with some Facebook ads, but it's never just boosting a post. It's always with a strategy. So I think in terms of your reach, think of how do you get back into your universe and do some promotional things in front of people. When I started consulting, I'll tell you a little about this period of my career, because when I started consulting, I would speak at some of the conferences, Club Industry and IRSA. And at the end, people would come up and they would hand me their business cards, and those were my leads, and then I would call them. And if somebody said, I need help, I want you to consult, I had my fee that I would charge, and if they'd pay it, I would do it. I would come there. And I started to see the difference between those who will listen and those who want magic. And it didn't take me very long. So when you take on a consulting job, if the owner is going to disagree with your assessment, or the owner is unwilling to change, or the owner is the problem, which is very often the case, or they're not telling you the real hole in the business, and I've seen that plenty of times, where I finally look at the books and I go, well, I thought you made $12,000 last month, but I see there's an $18,000 payment. What's that? Oh, the equipment lease. You lease the equipment? Yeah. So you're losing money? Oh, yeah. So I started being very selective in how I consult, and I started doing it with a preliminary visit where I would determine whether or not I take somebody on. And I needed a simple way to be able to either qualify them or give them advice if I decide not to take it on. So one of the dumbest but most valuable, smartest, most idiotic concepts I ever came out with, I called pumps versus drains technology. And I had a whole presentation. And I told a story about a water plant and how they wanted more water, so they got more pumps. But in order to keep the pumps, they had to create more drains. And I turned that into money. And by the way, there's a lot of reason to use the metaphor of water for money. You know, we talk about the banks of a river. We talk about the flow, cash flow. So it's a really good metaphor. And the very simple metaphor was, make sure your pumps exceed your drains. Now, I say it's stupid and idiotic because it's so obvious. I mean, the whole idea of being in business is make money and spend less than you make. Right? That's the whole idea. But you'd be amazed how few people live by that. So I created a very simple format where we would dissect every revenue stream, every pump, and we would look at what drains are necessary to make the pump work. And this was really eye-opening for me because this is when I started to see that almost every major health club at the time lost money in personal training. So what are your pumps? Personal training sessions. How much does that bring you? $23,000 a month. Good. Now, what drains are necessary to make those pumps work? Well, we give every new trainer two uniforms, and then if they want, they could buy more shirts at $12 each, which is our cost. Okay, so you have that cost. What else? We give the trainer a percentage of what they generate. Okay, what's that percentage? 40%. Okay, seems a little unfair, but we'll look at that. There's money going out there. And so far, it looks like it's profitable. Is there anything else? Yeah, we pay trainers $12 an hour to stand around with their thumbs up their ass. Oh, well, so now we're looking at payroll and we see that it's costing you $26,000 to generate $23,000. So your drains exceed your pumps. So I'm sharing this with you because it's a very simple exercise for you to do right now. Is Jim Beatty here? Jim, are you here? I was just going to reference a conversation he and I had the other day. But it's a really simple metaphor for a very important way to assess your business. Do your pumps exceed your drains? And keep in mind, there's a cost to everything. Like if you're getting up at 4:30 in the morning to do a boot camp and your husband or wife doesn't like it and you're putting wear and tear on your car, you can't always be precise in quantifying it, but if you're the sole proprietor, then you have to figure those things in. I told you on our last call, urgency is important. Now, very often we fear urgency because it causes that adrenal stress. But let's look at it from the flip side. Urgency is what makes things happen. If you're a linebacker and you suddenly wind up with an interception in your hands, you can't sit on it. You got some urgency. And if you want to actually put points on the board, which defensive linemen don't usually do, there's some urgency for you to get into the end zone. And when you get there, man, that's not only a celebration, it's one you never forget. So urgency is good when you have opportunity. So when the ball shows up in your hands, urgency is good. You know, I'm involved with Thrive, which is network marketing. And sometimes, I've seen this more than a few times, a promoter will talk to a prospect and the prospect goes, yeah, let me try some samples. Yeah, I'm really interested. And then the promoter goes, I'll check with you in a week. And a week later they call, but they can't get a hold of them. And then 2 weeks later, they call and they can't get a hold of them. And 3 weeks later, they call and they go, hey, what'd you think of the samples? And they go, oh, it's great. I loved it. I signed up. Oh, you signed up? Yes, under my neighbor. Because the promoter didn't see the urgency in getting that person to connect with them. So urgency is important. The adrenal stress comes from when we mistakenly believe that everything is urgent. And Stephen Covey's First Things First asks you to put, did I say asked? Asks. Stephen Covey's First Things First puts things into four quadrants. And it's been one of the greatest time management tools I've ever learned, and I still use it to this day. What is urgent and important? What is urgent and not important? What is important and not urgent? And what is neither? So when I work with a client or a business owner who is in that adrenal stress mode and everything has to be done and they have checklists and to-do lists and a whiteboard with all of these line items and bullet points, when we start to put them in quadrants, most of those things wind up in the not urgent, not important. They just seemed urgent. I'm also advising somebody right now who's a major player, and this individual lives by the idea that things need to leave the desk, like can't leave things sitting. In other words, if there's an email, there has to be a response right away. And it's a difficult way to live because it makes everything urgent, and it even weakens you in negotiation because you're constantly showing your hand rather than strategizing. So urgent is good when you get good at managing what is urgent and what is not. So with all of those tips, I'm encouraging you to do a simple pro forma for your core business. Lay it out. What will you do in January? What will you do in February? What will you do in March? And I'm going to show you just a real simple little example in the financial plan of the medical fitness facility that I'm operating. But for you, you just list your sources of revenue, your anticipated income, your fixed expenses, and your variable expenses. This is accounting 101, but it's something that most personal trainers have never done. It requires nothing more than an Excel spreadsheet. In fact, even before Excel existed, it was still possible with a piece of paper. And it's worth it because it gives you a real sense of, am I growing the way I planned on or am I not? So it's possible to survive, pay the bills, be in a state of sustenance, but look back and go, man, I could have done so much more. So by creating a pro forma, you're looking ahead rather than looking back over your shoulder. And when you create the pro forma, here's a really great moment. You take a look at it, and you ask yourself this question, is this the business I want? And if the answer is no, great. Why? Because it's not 2019 yet. You could morph it, change it, plan it differently. But if the answer is yes, you suddenly get jacked about your business all over again. So instead of being the zombie that allows the business to run you, this gives you a real ability to operate. When you answer the question, yes, this is the business that I want, then you ask, what is your ultimate goal with it? Saleability? Most personal trainers build businesses that can never be sold because they're dependent fully on one individual. A good, thriving business can be sold for 4 or 5 times EBITDA, 4 or 5 times net. A personal training business, even a business that has trainers and has a calendar and has accounts receivable, maybe is going to be worth 2.5 times net. Because so much is reliant on the owner who started it. Now, that's not true of health clubs. Health clubs can be worth 3 or 4 times EBITDA. So if you want to build something saleable, you need a spillover. Because if it's reliant on you and you think you're going to sell everybody your client book, it won't happen. At best, they'll pay you your earnings for 1 year. So, I mean, if you ever want to sell this and walk away with some money, you've got to think about how to build it now. Maybe you never want to sell it. Maybe you want it to be a lasting resource. Maybe you want to create revenues that continue beyond you by creating a spillover or something automated. Maybe it becomes a legacy that you want to pass along to your kids or your niece or your nephew. But it gives you such an advantage to be the personal trainer who operates from this perspective rather than just showing up every day and training clients. When you do this, you can determine your anticipated net. When you determine your anticipated net, you could determine your monthly deposit in your Ascension account. if you decide that there really is an opportunity for you in medical fitness, medical fitness can be a line item of your core business. So suppose, for example, you do connect with a doctor and it's a 50-50 split of consulting fees and it funnels people into your personal training. If you charge $150 and you consult with 10 people a month, $750 a month. If you see the virtue in selling as a first step, my reboot or Firestorm program, either can be a great funnel. If you want to personalize it, I gave you guys the opportunity to create videos. So you're on there taking people through the workouts. You could sell the Firestorm for $87, the reboot for $800, of which I only get $125. The rest is yours. So if you lay that out in a pro forma, you can create your revenue. I'm just giving you this as potential line items that are right in front of you right now. And if you're willing to do this in the next week or so, then January, February, March makes up the first quarter. At the end of March, you sit down and you look at your actuals and you compare it and you go, how did I do? I would guess if you do what I'm saying, it will put you in the 0.1% of personal trainers. It'll give you control over your business revenues. When I first opened my first studio, my dad had just retired, and he was an accountant. So I had that advantage. You know, he would come into the office and help me set up my pro forma. But I don't think most personal trainers have that. Then as I came to see the value in it, I learned to automate it and built it into my QuickBooks. So if this is sounding complicated, guys, I'm promising you it's so much less complicated than running your business without having a guideline. Really. All right, any thoughts, comments, questions on anything I shared?
So, Phil, I think I'm going to be getting ahead of the game here and just call me off of it and that. So the first one is, when we very first talked about the concept of going into the doctor's office, we talked about getting some sort of script or presentation from you of what you present. I've been doing some very informal sort of just testing the waters of physicians. Would they be open to a concept that they could generate a cash flow business? And I'd come, you know, once or twice a week to their place and see their clients and basically sell a program in the neighborhood of $600 to $800 to them. So where are we on that? Like, what do we have
to do? Well, Tasso, we could go back to that call, and you could even listen to the recording, and you guys asked me for that, and Gary kept asking me, and I said, guys, I'm not asking you to move quickly on this. I want to share the concept. It's not as simple as going in with a script. I want you to understand it. Because even what you're saying now is flawed. You're going in and saying, can I come in? You're like asking permission to do this thing. I'm saying it rescues the doctor. I'm doing it from a perspective of I'm going to help you. I'm going to change your business, not are you willing to give me a space? They happily give me the space. So it's going to take some time, I think, just to become savvy with the concept. Because when you really get it, you're rescuing the doctor.
Right.
So that's the reason I'm reluctant to just give you a presentation. I don't think it'll work that way.
Well, then can we target, I'm sure we're doing that right now, but target some calls that get us more appropriately ready for that? Because it seems like each one of our products will differ in what we offer based on just what you said, like, are we going to offer the Firestorm? Are we going to offer the reboot? Are we going to offer a live to them in their package? It seems like we have to build the package.
You can do those things with no connection to medicine. I was just giving you examples of line items you could add to your pro forma that don't require a lot of work. So, yeah, every one of you is going to have your own fingerprint on it, and every one of your pro formas is likely going to be different. So, Tasso, I will devote calls to anything you guys want. So if there's a real hunger for this among you, yes, we can really delve into it. But this is where the back and forth is important. So I'm listening to you right now, and yes, of course. So if we're going to talk about it, I have to go back to where the opportunity lies. Let me go back to sharing what you already know, but just so we can kind of move into that place and really see the opportunity. Before Obamacare, insurance might pay 65% of what a doctor billed, and there actually were cash patients who just didn't have insurance, and because the charges were more reasonable, people would pay it. So the insurance companies would refer people to the doctors. The doctors would have a full book. They had to hire an administrative staff, and one of the headaches that doctors came to really despise was the human capital need and the time lag to find out if people are approved for procedures. So everything had a code to it. And when you'd go into the code, there were so many variables. So for example, somebody needs an ultrasound for a particular organ, but the diagnosis is suspicion of gallbladder issue. And the wording says ultrasound would be approved for a gallbladder issue. So now somebody has to call the insurance company, somebody who works for the doctor has to call the insurance company to see if this will be improved or approved. So what Obamacare did is it came out with, I forgot the number, I didn't know it, thousands of different codes beyond what existed prior to try to minimize the need for that conversation. So they even had like bee sting, wasp sting, falling into a hornet's nest. I'm not kidding. Like every one of these things had their own code. So the idea was now you just enter the code and it's a yes or no. You don't have to have these long conversations with the insurance company. And the other part of Obamacare was rates are going to go down for people who have conditions that they used to be charged a premium for. Smokers would be charged more. That wasn't going to happen anymore. People who had cancer in the past but don't have it anymore, they used to be charged more. They weren't going to be charged anymore. So pre-existing conditions were allowed within Obamacare without the huge penalty, and many of them couldn't even get insurance. The problem for the insurance company was, how are we going to handle this? We need to make zillions of dollars, and now we're taking on sick people. So we've got to get healthy people to buy insurance too, so we cover the cost. So that was the deal. Obamacare came in and said, we're going to offer a tax credit so everybody gets insurance, even the healthy people, and that way it'll make sense all around. So conceptually, it was a beautiful idea, but what happened is healthy people didn't buy it. So in order for the insurance companies to continue to make their zillions of dollars, they started paying 40 cents on a dollar and then 20 cents on a dollar. And then the insurance companies had to raise their rates. And because they were paying so little, the doctors had to raise their rates. So I'm just explaining what got us to this moment where I see the opportunity. So now insurance may pay 18 cents on a dollar. So doctors have to charge exorbitant fees so they can get their 18 cents out of every dollar they bill. People who don't have insurance cannot possibly pay because the fees are ridiculous. And the doctors have to see a ridiculous number of patients. So the goal for the doctor as a business owner is to come up with the code. That's it. That's the doctor's job. Come up with the code and I'll get paid. On to the next. So when we talk about diagnose and Medicaid, it's not because doctors got together and said, here's how we're going to run our business. It's because the insurance situation pushed them into that place. So now a doctor who was earning $500,000 a year is suddenly working more hours, seeing more patients, and netting $220,000 a year. And that's not an exaggeration. That's real.
Phil, what's that number? What's the differential again?
What do you mean?
You said the doctor was earning X amount, now he's earning X amount.
I'm not saying this is a rule across the board. It's not statistical. No. It's speaking of specific individuals I know who are earning half a million a year that are now earning 220.
Right. Okay.
It's a big drop. And, you know, people who are not in that income bracket would look at that and go, they're so rich. They didn't see it that way. They live in country club communities. They're living hand to mouth, you know. I mean, they're putting away, they have some savings, they have an IRA, but they're certainly not thinking of themselves as wealthy. So when they drop to $220,000 a year, although many people go, oh, poor doctor, it's painful. So they're not starving. They're putting food on the table, but they hate their job. They hate their business. I'm telling you this because I speak to them, whether it's one-on-one or in groups. I can say everything I just said to you, and they sit there nodding their heads. Yes, yes. This is the reality. So the opportunity comes along for a personal trainer who is more than the standard personal trainer, who has the ability to address chronic disease issues, which is the number one reason people visit family medicine doctors. And the personal trainer can charge cash in reasonable amounts because we're not getting 18 cents on a dollar. We're getting 100 cents on a dollar. Doctors can't do that because if they're an insurance model, there are a whole lot of restrictions. One of the ways they try to get around it is they create what they call their hardship programs if somebody doesn't have insurance. But they can't just say, oh, you don't have insurance, pass less. But we can do that because we're charging in line with our value. We're not doing medical procedures. So we now bring in to the doctor a brand new revenue stream that is not bound by the insurance regulations because there's no code. It's not competing. So if we can sit at a desk and collect $150 and the medical office makes $75 of it, we are the hero, especially because that office isn't generating any money anyway. So, Tasso, that's the opportunity. So it's not, hey, can I come in and set up shop in your place? Because they'll say no. But if you deeply understand the need that they have and the value this could bring, the starting point is they're suddenly making money in fitness. Now, where does that grow to? An integrated model, where ultimately I see many of them, not all because it takes courage, but many of them, when they start to see the enhanced revenue stream, will be open to creating a truly integrative model where there are, the way I'm presenting it, three steps or two step-ups. So there's the low barrier entry where somebody comes in for a fitness program or a weight loss program. There's the step two, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. And then some will go for the step three, which is the premium-like stem cell, where you're going to make $5,000 to $12,000 on a single patient, and they're happy. So, you know, again, it's not a simplistic shift where you just go to a doctor's office and you say, could I set up shop? It's really helping them see the virtue in it, and then, of course, following through. But now I want you to understand another piece of it. When the business has this single office that is generating $75 every hour, they don't want to see that office empty anymore. So they will start referring people to you. And if they understand that you are bringing about change in everyone who has hypothyroidism or hypertension or blood sugar regularity, it's a parade of people. It's not you going and saying, hey, doc, can you refer people to me? It's the, here's the patient standing at the checkout desk and they're going, let's set you up for your fitness consultation. I hope you remember this when it's 10 years from now and this becomes the standard, that this is where it began. Honestly, I hope you guys remember this because it's so opportune right now.
Well, you know, Phil, I'm already seeing, like, chiropractic offices seem to be moving in that direction very quickly around here. I mean, they're taking out double-page ads in newspapers and periodicals and that. and you know, they don't have the exercise component, and that's why I thought the chiropractic community was going to be more receptive. You know, I think more of them.
Let me tell you the difference, because yeah, they will be more receptive. They will, if you approach it right. But let me tell you the difference. The chiropractors are in a totally different boat. Chiropractors went to school where they were taught that every single organ and living cell in the body relies upon the central nervous system, right? That's the premise of chiropractic. And the central nervous system is housed in the spine. And when there's an interference that prevents nerve signals from traveling to an extremity or to an organ, the organ becomes compromised. So by removing the subluxations, we open it up, we create a power flow, and the body's innate healing goes to work and the body heals. Now, up until about 15 or 20 years ago, most chiropractors dealt with back pain, neck pain, posture issues, and injuries. But they were affected by Obamacare as well. They were affected because they ran these insurance businesses, and they were a machine where they were raking it in. They'd hire a girl who would do ultrasound and electrostim, and they would just move people through because they didn't really have to treat. They would do an adjustment that took 7 minutes. They were okay with that. It wasn't like the doctor. They didn't have to figure something out. They just said, okay, we see you have an issue with L3, L4, zip, zip, bang, bang, done, be on your way. And they would bill insurance. So when insurance started paying less, they were really screwed because they were relying on return visits. And when people started seeing that it used to be $40 a visit and now it's $85, they stopped making all those return visits. So chiropractors started trying to find a new revenue stream, so they started targeting functional medicine, with much of what we're talking about, and they targeted people with thyroid issues. But here's the reality. Everything they learned in chiropractic school was if you fix the central nervous system flow, the patient gets better. Now that we have epidemics of hypothyroidism, you fix the spine and the patient doesn't get better. And that's the problem for the chiropractors, is they kind of painted themselves into this corner where we could heal anything because we just return flow to the central nervous system. The fact is people weren't getting well. So they started now moving into this realm where they start to take on nutrition, and they sell nutraceuticals, and they're making money. Those who are doing it well are making money, but they don't have the need for you. They're sort of like their own rodeo. The doctor is totally different. They're just stuck and frustrated and crippled. Do you see the difference, Tasso?
I do. Do you find... You know, we accept chiropractors at a high level, I believe, but do you find that society has more credibility still? Like if the doctor has us in the office and says, all right, we're setting you up for a consultation, for your fitness consultation, $150, the chiropractic patients go, well, wait a minute, let me think about that, where the MD or DO is going to say, their patient's going to go, yeah, right, let's do it.
I believe there is definitely a shift, and I think when you see people who are in their 60s, they put much more stock in the MD than the chiropractor. But I think right now, because of what's happened to medicine, a lot of people are seeing chiropractors as the better option. With all of that said, though, at a subtle subconscious level, I agree with your theory that they will listen to the doctor before they'll listen to the chiropractor. But I want you to understand the difference in the level of need. Chiropractors feel like they could do this themselves. They're going to become nutrition experts. They're going to recommend something. They're going to get an exercise video. They're going to give people a handout. They don't really have the interest. If you're making $150 in one of their offices, then they'll do it, or they'll hire somebody. Why should they give you half?
Right.
The doctor's not in that world. Not to say you won't find a chiropractor who's open to it, but the level of need that I'm describing that really creates this opportunity is specific to medical doctors, specifically those in family practice. Anyone else? Any thoughts or questions?
Phil, are you comfortable talking about the discussion we had about in facility where we create our own integrative medicine, or is that getting too far ahead?
It's getting a little far ahead. I'm okay talking about it, but I'd really like to go through because I'm talking about the pro forma, and I just want to show you what I'm actually building. This is not made up. This is what's happening right now. So I was, you know, unsure if I should share it with you, but why not? Because it kind of meets the criteria of everything that we're talking about. So no, I'm wide open to it. I just want to do this first.
Okay.
Okay? Anyone else have any questions about anything I spoke about? Because I want to make sure everybody at least understands where I'm going, that this isn't just, you know, pie in the sky, what is Phil talking about? Because I'm still a personal trainer. It's still what I do. I just, along the way, found opportunities to be more. You know, I found a way in my life to become a speaker, to become an author. This is just another one of those things. But I'm a personal trainer. So there's nothing I'm doing that you can't do. All right, if you have the sheet in front of you, transgenesis is the overriding title that I give now to all of my programs, so you've probably seen me use that word. And the way I explain it, it is traveling to a new beginning. It is not just trying to go back to the shape you used to be in. It's more than that. It's changing your DNA. It's changing your behaviors. It's changing your neural wiring. It's really just bringing about a complete change in the way your cells communicate with each other. And I think that's a huge separation point. I'm not just taking people through workouts so they could lose some fat. I'm helping people understand how to change their body so it doesn't put that fat on again. I'm not just helping people lower their blood sugar so they need less medication. I'm teaching them to reprogram their body so they don't have a blood sugar issue. I'm teaching people to return to the innate state of homeostasis they were born into. So when you see that transgenesis heading, that's what that is. And it lends itself well to talking to people who are in the care of doctors. So in this particular facility, the key players are three. There's me, Dr. DeLuca, and Joseph York. Joe is a Wall Street guy who left that world and has ultimate interest in creating a hub and spokes medical type of business, meaning there's one central office where the doctor is, and then we can create satellite offices 10 miles from each other, 12 miles from each other, where a nurse practitioner is there, so we don't have to have the cost for every facility of having a doctor in there. So that was his vision. So the three principals are myself and Joe and Dr. DeLuca. So the idea is, if Dr. DeLuca and I are showing up, then we need to get paid. But we're not doing this to have a job. So we need to get paid the way we would pay a practitioner so that the focus is truly on building a saleable business down the road, one that is not reliant on me or him, one that operates because there are systems in place. So beginning in January, we will be doing seminars. This is one of two facilities that I'm doing this with, by the way, unrelated to each other. At the seminar, we will both speak, and I will close, and we're selling an $897 program with a $2,500 value, and I could lay that out, for $697 if they commit that night. So, yes, this is the world of medicine, and no, this is not typical in the world of conventional allopathic medicine, but it's 100% ethical, and it's in line with everything I've done. I mean, I've built my business by doing large-scale seminars and selling my programs in the back of the room for $289. I'm just upping the ticket a little bit. So for $897 or in the seminars $697, they will get a 30-minute medical consult and a 45-minute fitness consult. So they're getting roughly an hour and a half of professional consultation. We will draw blood for their labs, and included in the program, we will get a CBC, a CMP, and CRP. If you don't know what those are, CBC is a complete blood count, which is just standard in medicine, red blood cell count, white blood cell count, blood sugar. CMP is a metabolic panel, and CRP, you guys are familiar with C-reactive protein. We will give them the option of getting thyroid, adrenal, testosterone, estrogen, but that's going to be about $180 more. Still a really good deal because most labs will charge more than that. Stop me along the way, by the way, if you want to question anything. When we sign people up, we will have a start date. So if, for example, our start date is January 18th, then everyone who signs up from January 2nd forward is going to start on the 18th, and they're going to come to a group class, which is, again, the way that I've run my programs for years. When they leave that...
I'm sorry, what was that, Phil? You said everyone's going to start on the 18th, and what else?
That's the way I've conducted my programs for years. That's the way I've run my Alive program for years, at Memorial Hospital, wherever I've done it. Even in my studio years ago before the hurricane, I would offer group programs where we'd get 12, 24 people in a group and start them all on the same day. You got it? Tony?
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
So they're starting with a live group class after their consultation. So they've all done their consultation before they come in for the group. Now, the beauty of this for me is I'm only spending 1 hour, that's how long the group class is, for up to 24 people. They will leave that, and by the time they get home, they will have an email giving them access to the online 21-day metabolic reboot. And they're going to come home knowing how to do the 9-minute routine. We want to create the habit of them coming in once a week to get IVs. So we created a lipotropic formula, and we don't say that it burns fat, but it gives them everything they need to metabolically optimize their system to get the best fat loss results as they go through the program. So they're going to make an appointment, a recurring appointment, where they come in once a week. It'll take 15 to 30 minutes, depending on their veins, to do a drip. If they want a B12 shot, some people love it because they really do feel a change in energy, palpable. Other people don't. It really depends a lot on what their nutrition has been to date. But if they want one, they can get one for $75.
Phil, is the lipotropic IV, is that a set formula for everybody, or is it?
No. But yes. It's a set formula for everybody, but it's not off the shelf. We're creating it.
Okay.
Within the 21 days, they're going to get a review of their labs. This will be done by Dr. Luca by phone or by Skype. Now, we struggled a bit with this because I do want them having the personal contact, and you know, we try to think about maybe we can go over to the labs while they're sitting there for the IV. But really what we came to figure out is it kind of lowers the image of the doctor if they're sitting getting IV and he sort of pulls up a chair next to them. You know, so we're setting it up as many doctors do anyway. When somebody has a lab problem, right, they get their labs and they go, oh, we have some bad news. It's a phone appointment. So that's the way we're going to do it. We're going to do it by phone or by Skype. So they still get personal attention, but there's nothing more required than just that phone call. At the end of the 21 days, they get their closing consult with both Dr. Luca and myself sitting together in the same room. And a part of that is we talk about where they go from here. Now, There are so many pieces of this that are hugely strategic. So you'll notice that we're drawing their labs at the beginning, but we're not going through the labs with them until we're midway into the program. So what we're not doing, and again, this took a lot of thought, is we're not comparing their labs before and after. And you would think that that's the opposite of what we want to do. But the problem with that was we would then have to include another lab draw, and there's cost to that. So what we decided is when we sit down with somebody, we're going to go, you know, we looked at your labs. It shows that, yes, you are showing as if you have a blood sugar issue and you're on medication. So what we would like to do is keep you on this circadian nutrition program for the next 6 weeks. We'd like to continue to come in once a week for IVs. And at the end of 6 weeks, we will take your labs again, and we anticipate seeing improvement. And we have an exercise routine. Would you prefer to see a trainer once a week, twice a week, or three times a week? So just in terms of the seminar leading to revenue, is this clear? I take silence as no, so it's either yes or no, and if it's no, I'm going to do it again.
Wait, ask the question. Ask the question again, Phil. I'm sorry.
Is it clear?
It's clear.
Yes.
The cost of the materials required, including the IV supplies, is $175. That's a little generous. It's actually a little bit less than that. But that's our cost per package sold, $175. Where normally Dr. DeLuca and myself would get a whole lot more money for the time we're spending on this, we're going to share $300 on every package sold. Now, I want to explain why, because you're not going to get a doctor to do it. Because we're also owners in the business. So the idea is when we get to the point that we don't need to personally do it anymore because there's enough revenue to support practitioners, we can pay them that $300 and we're just earning from the profit. So you can see a lot of thought went into this. So step one, we do a seminar. And we upsell people to buy a package for $897, or if they buy it at the seminar, $697. The net is $422, or if we consider the $200 discount because they sign up at a seminar, the net is about $200. $222 is the net. Now, when you look at a medical office, that doesn't look like a whole lot of money. That's not enough for doctors to go, oh, my God, we're going to make $200 for a 21-day package? That's great. It doesn't really seem that enticing until you understand the big picture. Because what's pivotal is that closing consultation with me and Dr. DeLuca. That's where it is on us to drive the business. So step two is we're going to present their program going forward, and we're going to do it based on what they need. It's never just going to be a frivolous recommendation. Listen, if somebody's in ideal health, they don't need to come back. But at that point, we might sell them the Alive program. We might sell them regular personal training sessions. We might sell them the Thrive product. But in the great majority of cases, because of the protocols that we can use in functional medicine, we will look at what IVs will be most valuable. So I can't imagine anybody who came into this program with some sort of chronic disease who will not benefit from a glutathione push. I can't see anybody who comes in with brain fog not benefiting from an infusion of phosphatidylcholine. So it's all ethical and appropriate. This is a cash model, not an insurance model. So the patient's spend might be anywhere from $700 to $1,400 a month, which may sound like a lot if you're running an insurance business and taking a $20 copay, but that's not a lot for a personal training business. So once they get into step two, the net on every patient who graduates to step two will be $400 a month as a minimum. So if through our seminars we attract 20 new patients a month, which is, you know, again, when you're creating a pro forma, you got to start with an anticipated outcome. That's what we've committed to. So if we get 20 new patients in January, then our new patient revenues, net, keep in mind, this is a net. This is not revenue collection. This is after the drains, between $4,000 and $8,000. Now, again, that's not the reason to get excited. It's nice, an extra $4,000 to $8,000, but that's not why you get excited. That's just showing a healthy business. If 50% of those who sign up for step one go forward into step two, then we add 10 step two patients per month. So in February, we're signing up 20 new people from our seminars, but the people from January are rolling forward into what we're calling step two. We don't call it that out loud. That's just between us. So step two means they're becoming a regular client, just as in your personal training business. They're coming in for training sessions and or IVs. So if we add 10 step two patients in February with a $400 net each, we add, again, not total revenue, net, we add $4,000 to the monthly bottom line. So if we only look at what comes in from step two, over the course of a year, it's not 12 times $4,000 because it's a $4,000 increase every month. So now you can look at those numbers. The profit increase is $4,000 a month. The increase in the monthly net from where we started increases by $4,000 every month. And cumulatively, look at what we're increasing. This is purely net 6 months in. And if you bring that forward into 12 months, you can do the math. Now, it's unrealistic to build something based on perpetual growth, because sooner or later you hit a point of critical mass. But I'm sure we can do this for 6 months. So considering that once we hit that point of critical mass is going to be attrition, so we're saying 30% attrition, which I think is really reasonable, Matt, in terms of just if it were personal training, I'd be comfortable committing to no more than 30% attrition. And considering that we do hit critical mass and the market is a little penetrated by our seminar offers, if we simply maintain $24,000 in monthly profitability, you could figure out what that does over the course of a year. But this is over $250,000 in profit with one trainer, one doctor. So when I told you Joe is the Wall Street guy who wants to turn it into a hub and spoke system, this becomes replicable and scalable. There's nothing in here that can't be replicated. Now, I'm not showing you this because I want you to follow that model. This is specific to me. This involves a lot of what I've done, what I've built. So a lot of this, I don't want you to look at this and go, oh, man, I don't know how to do this. You don't have to. You can create your own. I'm just giving you an example of what you can create in an existing business because the doctor doesn't have a revenue stream like this. And this is why I said I could walk into any family practice, and if I can increase their revenues by a net of $160,000, $220,000, increase their net by that, why wouldn't they say, Phil, take this office? So I know some of you, you know, you may be participating or and going, there's no way I could do this. Listen, this is the first time you're being exposed to it. I'm not expecting you to go do this tomorrow. I just want you to see the opportunity. Because we could make this manifest in a thousand different ways. But the opportunity to work in the medical community with doctors and help people reverse chronic disease, when I say it's opportune, I'm showing it to you. There's no secret here. You're seeing the secret sauce. It's all right in front of you. What questions can I answer, or what do you want to discuss?
Yeah, got a question, and because you said that this is scalable with one doctor and one trainer. So as I'm looking at most of what you're going to be delivering in terms of information, starts with the class, right? So obviously you have a process of drawing as many people as possible into the class. Or
20 people a month.
How many? 20?
20 sales a month. This is built on driving 20 people a month into my program, a 21-day program.
So it's utilized by driving them in primarily by getting them into the seminar, correct or no?
I'm going to say that's our initial plan.
Okay.
Right now, this medical business has a database of 3,500 patients. So we're going to really have a big advantage starting. But the reason I'm not considering that here is because that'll be used up. In other words, you know, once we use that list, we're building our list. So, but we
right.
do have that as a big head start.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't want to say predominantly from seminars, but that's the thrust of how we're going to bring people into the program, yes. I'm
okay.
sure we'll bring them in many ways, but that's going to be the reliable one.
So what I'm looking at is in terms of how many touches do you have for each individual, right? Because as you bring them in and you start scaling it, it's going to require, if I'm getting it right, it's going to require more touches for more people as you scale it, or is it that you're really going to have just those touches in the beginning with the people who are initiated into the program, and then you're going to transition them into a live or whatever other program.
Yeah, Tony, they're going to sit in a seminar seat. There are zero touches prior to that. So whatever it is that inspires them to register, I am going to do some radio stuff. We are going to do some social media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, whether they hear an ad on the radio and they call right away, or they see something show up in their Facebook feed and they click on it, they're showing up, so this is the first actual personal touch from me and or from Dr. DeLuca. So we're not bringing them in first and talking them into the seminar. Their first action is coming to the seminar.
Right.
Now, with that said, there will be patients who call the office and go, I have a headache. Can I have an appointment? So, of course, I don't want to bank on that. I want to create a revenue stream that we can rely on, but I don't want to say it's predominant because I have a feeling we'll have five or six different funnels that bring people in.
Okay.
But the marketing of the seminar is going to allow us to sell 20 people a month on this program, which is no different than I've done in any of my programs. I do a seminar and I sell my Transform program. That's what I've always done. You know, as far back as when we first met, that's what I was doing. You know, more recently, I do a seminar at Memorial Hospital, and people pay to sign up for my 13-week Alive program. So it's the same premise. The only difference is the price tag is going up. So instead of selling a product for $289 or $325, we're now selling one for $897, discounted $200 if you register tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And when I lay out all these bullet points, I'm going to show how it's $2,500 worth of value. If they just came in and did all of these things, they'd wind up paying $2,500.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
That's the only touch point prior to commitment. Now we've built into the program weekly touch points. They're coming in for their group, and they're coming in for weekly IVs, and then they're coming in for the closing consult. So that allows us enough leverage, connection, and rapport to sell them on step two.
I see what you're saying. So they have their initial consult, which is the 30 and the 45 minute, right?
Yep.
Then they have, and the group class is weekly, so it's...
No, it's once. It's once. It's only once.
Okay. So they have a lab drawn, and I'm assuming that's going to be the doctor, correct?
Yeah.
And they have the option, well...
We actually have a nurse, so it won't be physically the doctor, but it'll be a nurse.
It'll be, okay, it'll be a practitioner, right? And then the lab review by phone and Skype, and then there'll be a closing consult with both you and the doctor. So I'm looking at five touches?
Six.
In the 21 days? Five or six?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And obviously this is post-commitment. Okay. All right. And the only reason I'm looking at this and counting touches is because, I mean, I have somebody that I could present this to or present the idea to. That's all. But as I'm looking at this, I'm, you know, looking, I'm trying to understand, okay, it's almost like this beginning is almost like your lost lead. I mean, you're not really losing, but it's...
There's no loss. It's not a lost leader at all.
But it's I can't say lost leader, but it's basically an introduction.
It's a low barrier entry.
Right, okay, there you go. That's the term I'm looking for, a low barrier entry. Right.
And, you know, we've talked about this so many times, but these people have spent thousands trying to remedy their issues. You know, again, these are people who they're functioning and they're in the real world and they're not sick. But I'm targeting my avatar, these people who have type 2 diabetes or hypothyroidism and they're on medication. This is the market. This is the massive market. So, Tony, I'm not doing anything differently than I'm doing now. Just right now I've been having the one-on-one appointments with them. So we've
right.
just structured it in a way that we can increase the net significantly over time. And that's the beauty of the business model that's incredibly appealing to any doctor in practice.
All right.
Because realize that's the reason I use the net numbers rather than gross revenue, because they can keep bringing in whatever they're bringing in. This is on top of that.
Right. Right. And then because you have another practitioner or a nurse, then you're talking about not they don't have to do those little minute touches like the injections.
The nurse is in the practice anyway. She's there, you know, full time. So
right.
it doesn't cost any more to have her do the work.
Right. There's another question I want to ask you. Now it evades me.
We also have a front desk person, and we also have a client relations, patient relations person. So they exist, but the reason they're not in here is because this is just net, and they're already paid to conduct the business.
Gotcha, gotcha. So the question I was going to ask you is, again, if we're looking at that avatar, right, so people with hypertension, diabetes, et cetera, and
65% of our adult population.
Right. So there's probably, I'm sure, like you said, people who have thyroid issues. And what I'm seeing more and more is how many people are on thyroid medicine, and most notably Synthroid. What
yeah.
is, or do you have in place something that's going to target, is it the avatar includes all these people under an umbrella? Or are you looking for keywords that are going to address someone with diabetes, someone on Synthroid, someone who has whatever kind of medical maladies?
The umbrella is called REMAS. It's a term I made up, and I have the buy-in now of 8 different doctors who will all use that word. And it really just means that they're maladapted. Their adrenals are maladapted, and as a result, they have weight loss resistance. So everyone who has a hypothyroid issue that cannot lose weight has a very similar condition to somebody who has a blood sugar irregularity, because the truth is it's an endocrine disorder, right? It's a hormonal disorder. It's a maladaptation.
Mm-hmm.
So the umbrella is REMAS, this maladapted condition where you can't lose weight. So once they're sitting in that seminar, in the first 15 minutes, they all are moving under the same umbrella. They may come in thinking they're here because they have a thyroid issue. Somebody next to them might have come in because they have a blood sugar issue, and somebody next to them may have come in because no matter what they do, they can't lose weight. But 15 minutes in, they're all saying, I have REMAS. So we're going to experiment with the marketing. We're going to run some ABC tests to see what pulls people the best.
Right.
Now, on Facebook, you're not allowed to use disease names. You're not allowed to target people based on a condition. That's
right.
Relatively new, but you can do it on Facebook, so you got to be creative. But on the radio, I can. So that's where we're going to test those things, is we're going to see which pulls more. And if they all pull equally well, we'll use all three.
Got it. Okay. Is it okay, did I share this with the doctor?
Not the written paper, no.
Okay.
No, I don't share this with anybody. This is my private pro forma from my business plan, so I don't want to share it with anyone.
Gotcha. All right.
But you can, you know, study it enough that you can talk about it, but yeah, I don't want you to share that with anybody. Thank you for asking, by the way. I appreciate that. All right, so Tasso, do you, over the next few calls and as we move into 2019, do you want to stay along this road, or is this just kind of novel right now?
No, I think it's such a viable source for us, Phil. I mean, it really separates us. It's an opportunity. It's what, as you've noted before, is what the fitness industry dreams of, is that they were able to make a medical contact, you know, to medical physicians, and we're really not making a contact for referrals. We're going in, just like you said, where – we're becoming part of their practice. We're recognized on the same pillar with them.
Yep. Yep. And you can see that, at least in terms of building a business, I'll be paid as the practitioner initially, but ultimately I want to hire somebody. I don't want to be paid as the practitioner. I want to own it. So when
right.
we talk about a business being scalable and growable, and that's why this, you know, of the many opportunities that I had, the reason I chose this one is because of Joe, because his vision is the hub and spoke. And I said, okay, that's perfect, because then we can have this going on in 5, 6, 12 different places, and his vision is greater than that. He thinks when we do it in one city, we go into another city. So it, I believe, becomes a replicable model. And again, I don't want you to get stuck in thinking this is the only way to do it. You could do this in your studio. It's just bringing in a medical fitness component. You know, you could bring a doctor to you. There are many ways you could do this. I'm simply showing you the way I'm using this right now, because when I first, you know, a month ago or so, said, guys, I found the greatest opportunity ever, and I didn't want to sound like I was bragging when I said, I feel like I could walk into any family practice and within an hour they'll give me an office in there. I mean it, because you see it. And I had options as to which offices I wanted to bring this into. So once I found the right prospective medical facilities, I didn't get any resistance at all.
Yeah, you know, one thing that's very interesting to me, Phil, on this, and I really don't know how I feel about it, it's just sort of a pop-in-your-mind observation. It's like, I remember when I was doing the Isogenics, and I was trying to involve some physicians or clients, and the immediate response was, you know, $350 a month, boy, that's a lot of money for our patients. And now remember, that's going back 3 years, and you know, we weren't comfortable with what we're charging now like we are, you know, personally. So I wonder how, if there's a barrier in overcoming that with those physicians, or if they just don't get it to the value of it.
I think that some of them will come with a prove it to me skepticism. You know, they'd be foolish to go, this can't work, but they're also not going to bank on it.
Yeah, they have nothing at risk. You know, as long as they trust you, they have nothing at risk.
They have nothing at risk, and I'm telling you this. They have square footage that is not generating revenue, which means it's a drain. They're paying for it and is not bringing in any money. So if there's the potential to bring in some money and it aligns with their business, why wouldn't they? And when I say it aligns, what I'm saying is when they see what you're doing for people and they see even the change in labs, they'll send their patients to you, not as a referral, as a part of their business, because it's making them money every time they do.
and this is a question more for Tony and Troy, because I don't know who else is on the call, but where are you guys' comfort level in being able to offer the services of this model like Phil offers them?
I'm not sure I'm 100% comfortable yet, but I love the approach and the mindset shift of us helping them instead of them helping us. So I can really buy into that. I think I need to put it down, you know, pencil to paper kind of thing, just so it's in my mind, as opposed to just trying to copy, so to speak, what Phil laid out.
Yeah, Troy, when you say them, you mean the doctors, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Where before, it's like, how do I get this guy to refer me, patient or clients to me?
Now,
instead of, listen, how do I make you money?
Right.
And patient. So I love that attitude.
You're getting it.
Yeah,
yep.
It's awesome.
And to be more specific about my question, Phil, is it's almost, I think it's my personal barrier that I have, that I'm sure we can talk about, but it's my personal comfort level in really offering, being the expert to the 21 day and the remass and the firestorm. You know, we got to know that thing inside and out, I think. And it's, I think that's, I mean, is that?
I don't think so, Tasso. I mean, I think you have to know it to a level of competence, but think about it. We've all charged, anyone who's been on it with me, $800 for a 21-day metabolic reboot, right? We've all charged that.
Yeah.
So that included a number of personal training sessions plus the online program. So this is why I'm saying it's $2,500 worth of value. You're getting two appointments with a doctor. You're getting two consultations with me. You're getting IVs every week. You're getting the complete online program. So this is a phenomenal deal. I mean it. Like, this is not expensive. This is not asking for a lot of money. This is the opposite. You know, this is like you've struggled with your thyroid issue for the last 8 years. You've been on Armour Thyroid and Cytomel and seven other different medications, and your doctor keeps changing them, and you still can't lose the weight, and you still find that your skin is dry. $897, you're going to fix it. I'm just saying that you got to get rid of any mindset barrier that thinks you're asking for a lot of money, because this truly is a bargain. Can you accept that, Tasso?
It's not a money barrier on the product that we're offering. It's a competency of being the expert in the program. You know, because you can't just and it's not the money, Phil. It's the representation. There's a level of competency that is expected in the medical office. Correct? I mean, you expect your doctor to have a level of competency. So
yes, but let me ask you a question. I know where you're going.
Okay.
Can you explain to a layperson why the thyroid output might be low because of stress?
Yes.
I will bet that the doctor can't. So what I'm saying to you is, don't create this point of expertise that you feel you have to conquer or achieve, or a milestone you have to pass before you're competent enough to do this. You have to know enough to safely take people through it and get them a result, and I believe you're there.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, ask a doctor to explain it. They don't. They'll just look at lab lines. That's what they do.
Hey, Tasso, there's no doubt in my mind that you're competent enough to deliver it. I mean, that's I'm going to be really frank with you. That's just ridiculous that you're not competent enough to do it. You definitely could.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need to know at a minimum, just so I understand what your question was. I misunderstood it originally, but I think we need to know more than the people we're addressing, really. It's kind of like, I mean, we already know that, I guess, from taking people through the 21-day. We know enough above the average person to be way competent in their eyes, I guess. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense. Troy, I remember, and I don't remember the name of the client that you got, but I remember when you started doing the seminars in your place, you know, the orientations, and just prior to that, I covered with you guys how every thyroid woman will have had the same experience, that she went to the doctor, they looked at her labs, they said your TSH is low or your T4 is low or your T3 is low, we're going to put you on medication, they got medicated, they went back, the doctor said your labs look good, and they said, but I still feel shitty and I'm still foggy and I don't have a clue what's any better other than my labs, and the doctor goes, no, you're better now. I remember you saying to me, you know, I said it just like you said, and she said, yeah, how'd you know? Does that sound familiar to you?
Oh, yes, of course. Yep.
Okay, so it's the same thing, is you don't realize how much more you know, not only than the people, but then the doctors. I'm not saying you know more than the doctors about the thyroid itself. I'm just saying in terms of how it happened, they never learned this. They learned that the person has a thyroid issue. In the great majority of cases, the person has an adrenal issue. That's not the way doctors were taught to look at it. So I'm just, there's no question in my mind, at least the three people who just spoke, Tony, Tasso, Troy, you guys know more than enough to do this with confidence. And if you're doing it with a doctor, then you refer people back and forth. But I can't even tell you how often Dr. Lazzari sends people to me to explain things like that. This is a different doctor I'm working with. So, yeah, Tasso, that's your childhood insecurities rearing their ugly head. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I hope that I just took you on a step toward what is going to lead you down an entirely different road. Not to change your career, but to really enhance it. Because the opportunity to make money in the medical field is greater for you than for doctors right now. That's what I'm saying. Until we speak again, have a great weekend. Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay.
This is a question on, this is a traditional health club question for my particular setup specifically.
Okay.
And in your experience, if you have any about this, I'm sure you do, I was approached today about an Orange Theory renting 3,600 square feet for me, which I absolutely friggin' love the idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Really,
it's a new franchise?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't want to be a partner. I just want to rent them the space.
Yeah.
Okay. Will it enhance my personal training business?
Yeah.
Your experience? Okay.
If you use it that way. Orange Theory doesn't and will not address nutrition at all. So I think the beautiful bridge is to form an alliance with them where you teach a standard nutrition class. Because that will not threaten them at all. Now, of course, what will threaten them is if Tasso's going to go, don't go to Orange Theory, come to me instead. But if you're going to lease them space and free up some non-revenue generating space in your place, I don't think it's a bad idea at all.
Okay.
They don't do personal training. I mean, they call what they do coaching, but it's a group class. So it's a totally different model. And my gut initially is not a bad idea at all.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited about it. I'm going to have a follow-up meeting with them.
You're paying a mortgage on the building, right?
Yeah.
What's your mortgage payment monthly?
$5,200.
And you're getting 36?
No, I'll get about $6,400 a month.
From them?
Yeah.
They're taking 3,600 square feet?
Yeah.
So you're going to pay your entire mortgage from them?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do it.
I love the idea. I hope we pull it through.
Yeah, be prepared. Some of your members will go there. But keep in mind, they're paying your mortgage. Like, you're not their enemy.
No, not at all.
I think it's a really good idea.
The reason I love it, Phil, is our average member is 51 years of age. They're not going to go there.
They will. Some of them will. You have to be okay with that. Some of them will.
Yeah, that's fine. So. Okay.
But I think it's really good. And I think it's also, they don't do personal training. And they don't offer nutrition. Right, and I can promise you this, if you create a awareness that the members know that if they get injured, they should come see you, you're going to have a good number of people coming in. Yeah, I would do it. A 3-year lease or more?
We haven't gotten that far. I'd like to go 5 or 10.
Good, good. Yeah, listen, Orange Theory does a really good job now of qualifying their franchisees. They don't go out of business. They're good. They're solid. So, yeah, I think that's a really good bet. I like it.
Okay. Thank you for your input.
All right. Talk to you on our next call, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.